Praise God.
He's got his system.
No, we're not going to be in Matthew.
You know, the Lord gave me that early this morning.
We're going to be in the same letter.
Are we in the Gospels?
Micah. Micah. Micah chapter 3. Going to do a little Old Testament stuff here. Bring it up to the New Testament, the new covenant that we have in Christ Jesus. Praise be to His name. Micah chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. If anybody can't hear me, just raise your hand and I'll speak even louder.
Amen.
Praise your brother, preach it.
Praise be to God. Micah 3, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore, night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded, yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob, and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood, and Jerusalem with iniquity, the heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord, and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil shall come upon us. Therefore shall Zion, for your sake, be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for words of comfort. We thank you for words of rebuke. We thank you for words of warning. We thank you for words, Lord, that come from your lips, Lord. Let them enter our ears, and through our ears, enter into our hearts, Father God, that we might be obedient unto you, Lord God, that we might receive the fullness of all that you have for us as children of God, and build us up in the most holy faith. Through your word, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Please be seated. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Have you heard of this new alleged evangelist on the scene, a guy named Joshua Mills? He has a mega ministry, and he claims that there are manifestations of divine glory happening through his ministry. He claims that, you know, the usual stuff with the gold teeth appearing in people's mouths, you know, like God can't provide a real tooth. He has to put gold in there so you look like a gypsy. He claims that when his son was born, Joshua Mills, that he was covered in gold dust. And now, this is the new guy. You know, this is after Todd Bentley. Remember that shyster? Now, this is Joshua Mills. He claims that his feet exude anointed oil. So he stands on a cloth, like a sheet, and oil, when the anointing comes upon him, exudes from his feet and saturates the cloth, and then his people cut up the cloth into what he calls glory cloths. And he offers them to people, and he says, if you will give a generous, quote, generous financial seed into this ministry, I will send you one of these cloths for free. That's for free.
Wow.
It's nuts. And you too will experience the miracles and the manifestations that I am experiencing. You know, this guy ought to do Dr. Scholl's commercials, you know, or buy some odor eaters or something. He's got something going on with his feet there that isn't right, isn't normal, you know? And yet, he has a sustainable ministry. People actually buy into this foolishness. Do not, we know by now, what, oh, it's real scriptural. Yeah, anointing is good. Oil is going to flow from your feet. Is that in Leviticus someplace? Or Deuteronomy? Did I miss it? In all the times I've read the Bible, I missed that one. Anointing oil flowing from your feet and giving out glory cloths. Does that tell you that the fact that he has a sustainable ministry, I mean, it's going on, a mega ministry. The state of the lack of discernment in the 21st century church of Jesus Christ in North America.
Amen.
Where else does this happen? I don't hear it happening in Africa or China or North Korea or the places where people, Christians, are being persecuted and they're dying for their faith. Would that gospel play in North Korea? I don't think so.
I doubt it.
I don't think so. And yet, that's the blindness that comes upon people who reject the truth of the Lord. And we are not among those who reject the truth. In Micah, God is saying to his people, you have transgressed against me. You have gone after idols. You have perverted justice. You know what his main message is, Micah's? Is perversion of justice and what is right and good and pure. And we have the same thing in the United States today, people ignoring the will and the needs of the people of America and doing what they want, going against the grain and destroying this country. But God is allowing it. Why? Because we have sinned against him. Not you and I necessarily here in this body, but as a nation. We have sinned against the Lord. And he says, I'm not going to tolerate it. I built you in a beautiful place. I put you in a place of many waters. I gave you so many blessings. And here you are turning against me. You have elected someone who is destroying this nation and bankrupting it and bringing it to the place of poverty. Do you know how close we are to the brink of destruction? We're this close. Let the record show I'm putting two fingers together for about a quarter of an inch away.
Yeah, it was bad.
We are on the eve of destruction. We truly are. Why? Because we have perverted the word of the Lord, and we have turned against them, just as Israel has. And he says, I'm going to put blinders upon your people who should be in leadership positions. I'm putting blinders on them so they can't see. Even his prophets were blinded to the truth. Then shall the seers, verse 7, be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. That was a word of, in those days, say, shame. Mm-hmm. Shame. Let the record show. I have to put this online. Let the record show that I'm putting my hands on my lips.
Amen.
And say, this was a sign of shame. You shall not have a vision. It shall be darkness unto you. You know, there's a guy named Joshua Mills. The latest evangelist, so-called evangelist. He's out there, you know, like Benny Hinn. He's got a mega ministry. And he's telling people that he's exerting oil, anointing oil from his feet and sending it out to people on cloths that's supposed to heal them. Just another sign that the body of Christ... Where is the body of Christ? You know? I know it's here. I know every single person in this room would not fall for that foolishness. But there are many, thousands, tens, hundreds, millions of so-called Christians who will fall for this nonsense of the Benny Hinns and the Joshua Mills and the Todd Bentleys of this world and support their alleged ministries. Who are they ministering to but themselves? No one else. Nobody gets healed. Nobody who receives these cloths has a miracle in their life. And you know that that stuff is demonic. It has to be.
Yeah.
Because it's not scriptural.
That's right.
It has to be either from the Holy Spirit or from another spirit. Mm-hmm. And I contend it's not of the Holy Spirit of God. It's right. Demonic. And if these people experience manifestations like that, they are given over to the demonic. And we have no business having anything to do with them. But so much of the alleged church of Jesus Christ is given over to this nonsense. We're talking about millions of people who claim that they are Christians who are given over to this stuff. And God has made their prophets blind. He has made them blind. He has made everyone who follows them and supports this with money blind. Spiritually blind. Can't you see? Open up your eyes. You claim to be a born-again Christian of God. Can't you discern? Can't you see what's going on here in the Spirit? That it's not the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of another. And who is that other but Satan? It's demonic. And God says, everyone who turns away from me, I will blind their eyes. You don't have to be an idolater. You don't have to worship totem poles or anything like that to be given over to a lack of vision. You know, it says in Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And that word vision there means prophetic revelation. Where there's no prophetic revelation, the people perish. And it means they cast off all restraints, and they go in any direction that happens to lead them through their flesh in any given direction. Where there is no vision, the people perish.
That's right.
But it also says in the latter part of that, but he that delighteth in the law, happy is he.
Jesus.
And what is our law? Love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself, and you have fulfilled the law. Happy is he who follows that law. But miserable and perishing are those who have no vision, no prophetic revelation. You know, I'm so glad that the Lord is moving among us, no matter how few we are.
Amen.
He's moving through us in the prophetic and teaching us as we go and encouraging us. What is all prophecy for? But as it says in 1 Corinthians, for edification. And I forgot the other two. Somebody look it up.
Instruction and righteousness. Is that in there?
No, it's for edification.
1 Corinthians
12, I believe. I'm allowed to forget some things, right? I'm 62 years old. I'm allowed to forget some things.
You get to learn them again.
Praise be to God. First Corinthians 12. Somebody will find it. Maybe it's 14. All right, here. 14:3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. When I hear a prophecy come through this body, it's for those things. And we need to hear those words from the Spirit, not only in a corporate setting, but in an individual. I'm at home, lying on my bed setting as well. Or I'm driving in my car setting as well. Amen. And I'm hearing from the Lord.
Amen.
We need to hear from the Lord.
That's right.
We need a vision from the Lord, or else we perish. We go outside the boundaries. You know, we're floundering around without a vision from the Lord. And we need that. We need that. Turn to
thank you, Jesus.
1 Samuel chapter 3. You know, there have been times, when there's been no clear word from the Lord, and we can learn from these times. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Verse 1, Samuel has been born now to Hannah, who was barren, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious, rare. In those days, there was no open vision. Why? Because Eli and his sons had strayed from the Lord. They had fallen into gross sin, and there was no prophetic word from the Lord. You know, when the nation, look at our nation, you know. You see anybody who has any wisdom whatsoever in our national leadership? I don't see anybody. They're all blind. They're just blind. There was no... The word was rare in those days. There was no word from the Lord. There was no open vision. Why? Because Eli and his sons had strayed from the Lord. They were into gross violation of the Lord's ways, which are what? mercy, humility, justice towards the people, opening up the word and the vision of the Lord to the people. There was none of that. They were taking everything for themselves, and Eli grew fat. You know, literally and spiritually, he became, you know, this obese thing that was totally deaf to the word of God. So what did God have to do? He had to raise up a Samuel through Hannah, who was barren. And Samuel said, "Lord, I hear. Speak to me because I hear." And what happened? They were destroyed by their enemies, and God raised up an Eli and gave him a prophetic voice, and he went forth, and they defeated the Philistines and utterly destroyed them because he had the ear of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise be to God. We need the ear of the Lord. Turn to Amos. Amos. Famous Amos. Chapter 11. I need my training wheels here.
No chapter.
Yep.
Amos 8. Can't trick us.
Another time when there was no word from the Lord. Amos 8. Beginning with verse 11. We're familiar with this. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst, that they swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again." A famine of the word of the Lord. Not hearing, not seeing the vision of the Lord. And what happens? Destruction. There's another space here. If you look between Malachi and Matthew, there's a 400-year space of not hearing from the word of God. Not hearing a prophetic voice, not seeing a vision of the Lord. And what happens? What happens when we don't see a vision of the Lord? When we don't hear what God is speaking to us, what happened? They built up this huge religious system, unjust, foolish, heretical, blasphemous, the rule of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, to the point that the Son of the Living God appeared before them, stood and spoke before them, and they didn't recognize him. In fact, they crucified him. Can you imagine what spiritual blindness that is? Thank God, in Samuel's day, God raised up Samuel, and he came and he defeated the Philistines. In the life of Amos, he spoke of restoration, which came after the return of the Jews from Babylonian captivity. And of course, with the Lord Jesus came a light shining in darkness. After 400 years of darkness, he came and said, "Here is the light. Here is the prophetic revelation. Here is the vision that you need to see. And they couldn't see it because they were so blinded. And we can be so blinded by our own foolishness and our own sin and our own shortcomings. You know, there comes a time sometimes when you have to turn your back on the things of the world. I think it was Spurgeon who said, if you want to conduct the orchestra, you have to turn your back on the crowd. And sometimes we need to do that. Turn our back on the crowd and conduct the orchestra of our spiritual life.
Amen.
You know? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. There are certain things that God hates and that lead to blindness. And I believe there are a number of people here who are going to see where I'm going. I'm going to Proverbs chapter 6. Things that God hates and that lead to blindness of vision. Praise be to God. Proverbs 6. I'm not a plumber and I got these hands. Beginning with verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The first one is a proud look.
Sorry.
A proud look. Proverbs 6:16. These things that God hates. A proud look. You know, I read many years ago, someone said that proud look is dust deifying itself.
Amen.
We are dust. Amen. And when you are into pride, you're deifying yourself as something better than dust. That's all we are. You know? That whole mini Bible study I gave in the beginning there is God saying, I'm going to remove all that pride and all that everything.
Thank you, Jesus.
So you are going to be glorified. You're not going to be deified, but you're going to be glorified. And that dust will never rise up again, trying to lift itself into some place it doesn't belong.
Amen.
Praise be to God. A lying tongue. God created this tongue. What did he create it for? What do you think Adam's total role in the world was, and part of him was a tongue that God created? What was it created for? It was created to glorify God. Right?
Amen.
To worship him in spirit and in truth. To praise him. To say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for all the great things that you've done in my life. And what does a lying tongue do? It perverts.
Amen.
That purpose that God created it for. Totally perverts it. Hands that shed innocent blood. You know what I think there? I think of two incidents in the New Covenant. One was with Judas. After he had betrayed the Lord, he said, I have shed innocent blood. Remember? To the religious leaders, and he tried to throw back the money that they gave him to betray the Lord Jesus. I have betrayed innocent blood. And then Pilate. Remember him? Washing his hands and saying, I am free of this man who has done nothing. He's innocent. I'm free of his blood. And of course he wasn't. Pilate went on to commit suicide. Judas committed suicide. You betray the innocent blood of Jesus Christ, and what choice do you have? If Judas had only repented,
Amen.
He could have been saved, but he wouldn't do it. If Pilate had repented, he couldn't be saved. He could have been saved. But innocent blood, betraying innocent blood. How much innocent blood has been shed over the years? You know, I think of that abortion doctor who was shot through his window by, you know, that Christian who thought he was doing the Lord's will. That's not doing the Lord's will. You don't kill people. But he thought he was, and that guy dying exactly where he was in his heart and his mind. You know where he is? I know where he is. There's no doubt about it. He's having to pay for all that innocent blood that he shed. And how many, you know, dictators, Pol Pot, Kim Jong-il, Stalin, Mao, all these people who have shed so much innocent blood.
Amen.
God hates it. He hates it. Remember in Genesis, he said that one of the reasons that he destroyed the world was because it was too violent.
Yes.
Too violent. God hates violence. You know, sometimes I sit there in front of the TV or a movie watching, you know, an action movie or something, and I sit there and I get convicted. Oh my God. I'm celebrating violence here, you know. Oh, he blows away the bad guy, you know. God hates that. It's one of the things he hates. And yet, I can celebrate. I ought to be crushed, you know.
Amen.
Oh, God. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. I always, you know, I try not to look at myself, but I have to. You know, I have wicked imaginations against different people that have done me wrong. And there are times when I confess, you know, I want to see them pay for that. And of course, they will, and I will. But look at, you know, again, our Congress. They are always dreaming up new forms of mischief to make our lives miserable and to destroy this country.
That's right.
The Nancy Pelosi's and the Harry Reid's of this world. It's horrible, but yet I'm just as guilty. If I have one thought wrong and destructive against another person, I am just as guilty mm-hmm. as they are. I don't like that. I don't like that that's the truth. But it is the truth. And I can't deny it. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. You know, it's one thing to think it. It's another thing to carry it out. And to come against somebody and do something destructive towards them. Does that do me any good? I may get a moment's satisfaction. Well, I got it over on you. It's not going to do me any good in the long run, is it? No way. A false witness that speaketh lies. That's someone who's not just lying in general, but coming against somebody, you know, in a court of law. Essentially is what it means. And bringing false witness against them, even if it's that false witness that gets them to pay the price of whatever wrong they did, it's still not right, is it?
Nope.
Never. Never, ever, ever. We need to be truthful because Jesus is not only the way, but he is the truth. And we need to be the truth. and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Do you know how God puts this on a par with murder and lying and deceit and all the worst things in the world? God says, you sow discord among the brethren, and it's just as bad as all that other stuff. That's a tough one, you know? Because there are people who have done us wrong in the body. I have people who owe me hundreds of dollars, you know, that I sold them something and never paid me for it. Who have, well, I wouldn't even go into all the obvious other stuff. And so if I sow discord, I'm not a good person in God's eyes. God hates it. He says, I hate it. These things do I hate. Praise be to God. Turn to Mark chapter 7.
That's Jesus.
Where does this stuff come from? It didn't come from God. He put certain things in us when we were born again. But before that, and still, there's a lot of junk in there, isn't there?
Sure is.
Mark chapter 7, beginning with verse 20. Jesus himself talking. Let's go back to 18. And he saith unto them, are ye without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? In other words, I can eat, you know, I could eat a spider. I never would. But it wouldn't defile me. Wouldn't do anything. Nothing wrong. And this is against the law. You know, there are certain things that they could eat as Jews.
That's right.
And certain things you couldn't eat. But he says, that's not what the problem is. Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? In other words, we go to the bathroom, gets out of there, and it's gone. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Ever had an evil thought? Mm-hmm. Whoa. There's some people, you know, I could picture myself taking a baseball bat to. That's not good, is it? If you're a Christian, you're not supposed to think things like that.
I don't think so.
Proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness or licentiousness, an evil eye, where you're looking at somebody and, you know, boy, I'd like to really wring that guy's neck. Blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Jesus is saying, that's what I came to eliminate from your lives. I came to give you power over that. Remember I said before, he gave us deliverance from the penalty of sin. He can also give us deliverance from the power of sin. So I no longer have an evil eye. How do I get rid of that evil eye? I take it to the Lord, time and time again, don't I?
Amen.
As many times as it takes, I say, Lord, please, please remove that. Lord, please remove that anger from my heart. Please remove that desire for revenge from my heart. Please remove it, Lord, because I want to be like you. One day we will. We'll be free from the presence of sin. And I'm looking forward to that day. But, you know, I believe God is saying, here you are. I have given you every tool that you can imagine. I have given you my word. You know, there's that thing I talked about, orality. It's foolishness. We need the word, the written word of God. How many times did Jesus say, it is written, you shall do this, you shall not do that? We need the word. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And we need the will in our hearts and minds to say, I don't want to live like that any longer.
Amen.
That's one that I struggle with. I don't know about you, but you know, I still have these things that come in and want to dominate me. You know, God says in Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you, but yet sometimes it does. And I have to deal with that. I have to bring it to the Lord constantly.
Amen.
Sometimes day by day, day by
That's
day.
Right. Right.
Lord, let it not have dominion over me because it's overwhelming me. You know, there are times that you just want to go to that person who wronged you so badly and grab them by the throat. And God says, you can't do that. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't grab Pilate by the throat. He didn't grab Caiaphas by the throat. He didn't grab anybody by the throat. He did it by his dying to self.
Amen.
And his rising in newness of life. And he did it by love and forgiveness. And that's something that we struggle with, isn't it? But God says you have to overcome. I've given you the ability to do it. You have to overcome the same way my beloved son did. And you have to give it up. And you have to come to that place where you forgive for real. Not just a mental one that lasts for a day or a couple hours, but for real and forever, just like Jesus did. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
That's right.
Thank you, Praise be to God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I just have one other thought. I want to put it out there, and I'll close. It has to do with a lying tongue. Is there ever a time but it's okay to lie? And what came to me as I was meditating on this message is, what about Corrie ten Boom? When the Nazis came to her door and said, are you harboring Jews? And she said, no. Was it okay to lie? What would the alternative? Yes, yes I am. Go up and arrest them, bring them to the ovens, and kill them. I'm going to not answer that. I have my own answer, but I'm going to leave it there. Is there any time when it's okay to lie? Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you've given us so many things, Lord, but above all, that you have delivered us from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and Lord, we're awaiting that day when you deliver us from from the very presence of sin. Sin shall no longer be. Death shall no longer be. The curse shall no longer be. We thank you and praise you, Lord. And Father, for anyone who might be listening to this message online, I put out a fleece of salvation. If you will take up that anchor of salvation and walk in its truth in the light of Jesus Christ, I'm trusting that God will heal, deliver, save, preserve, protect, and provide for you in a way that you could never before have imagined. Praise be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Close with the song. The altar will be open for prayer.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Changes come from me. He who can. want to say one thing that I forgot to say in my message. If we want 2020 spiritual vision, we have to depart from everything that God hates. Otherwise, we lose at least a portion of that vision. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Jack, would you close in prayer?
Isaiah 59:19 says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your mercy towards us, your kindness towards us, that you have redeemed us, you have called us by your name. And Lord, I just feel very inadequate, Lord, this morning in light of what Pastor has shared. For I know I fall way short of your glory in myself. But you are the Redeemer, and you have raised up a standard against the enemy in my life. And I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Redeemer has come, and he has saved me, and he has cleaned me up. And I know I'm not perfect, but I love you. And I know that. I love you. And I praise you, for you are good. And you are changing me from glory to glory into the image of your Son. And I love the things that you love. And I hate the things that you hate. And I desire to walk in that newness of life. So, Lord, we all fall short of your glory. We know that. But, Lord, you know our hearts. And you can look into each of our hearts here as we sit here before you this day. And you know what's going on in our lives. And that we have a heart after you. So we pray, Father, that you increase by your Spirit, Lord, that you increase our walk with you, that it becomes more pure, a holy walk before you, more pure, a righteous walk before you, a more pure, a just walk before you and man, Lord, that others might see the glory of the kingdom and the treasure that we carry, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord, for you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. We praise you, Lord. Lord, keep us from falling into any traps that the religious activity that goes on in this country, especially the Christian religious activity, that we don't fall into any of these foolishness, Lord, but we be sensitive only to you, your Spirit, and your Word, yielding ourselves to what you have, which is the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Yes.